Yo, 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 what up? This is Redhead Shoddy, a.k.a. Sarah Rosenberg, a.k.a. Redhead Shoddy, and you're listening to For the Culture, where we explore, expose, and celebrate all that is hip-hop. Just a warning, For the Culture may have some instances of profanity, and now that we have that out of the way, let's get this thing popping. Besides rappers, there are elements of hip-hop culture that are very important. Like there are dancers, graffiti artists, sneakerheads, and many, 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 many more. In the age of social media, hip-hop bloggers and journalists have been given a whole new platform to spread word about many aspects of the culture that the mainstream media has either not heard of or completely ignored. Our guest today is a hip-hop blogger and writer, as well as a former radio co-host for KCMU College Radio at University of Washington. Please welcome to the show Bella Ortega Levy, also known as Baby Bella C. Thank you for coming on, Bella.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, when did you first get into rap music?
Oh, jeez. Wow, then I gotta say my true age now, and I gotta tell fans I'm not 20 anymore. So, I gotta do, I was about 15.
15?
15, 16. When I got into it, I was 18, went to my first conference called the Yavin Conference. And that's where, like, anybody who was starting out would be at that conference. You saw a lot of talent go through there.
Okay.
Am I too hard for a minute? There we go.
Okay, sorry. So, yeah. And what are some of your main influences as far as rap goes?
Oh, I'm a big Mobb Deep fan. I'm a big, big Mobb Deep fan. Yeah, I mean, big Mobb Deep when it comes to the East Coast, Wu-Tang. And then for the West Coast, obviously, it's going to be, you know, Ice Cube, Eazy-E.
Okay.
Dr. Dre, but Ice Cube's my favorite.
Okay. And of course, we were talking earlier before the show, and you were talking a lot about how you did promotion for some of the biggest artists back in the day. You knew Tupac personally, Wu-Tang, N.W.A. You knew our past guest, our last guest, Alonzo Williams.
Alonzo, yeah. Big shout out to Alonzo out there. Hey, what's up?
What up? So, and you have some behind the scenes stuff regarding them. So.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry. So how did you get started?
The way I got started is I was going to music conferences. The person that I was married to, I got to, you know, give a big shout out to Nasty Ness, who discovered Soul Mix-a-Lot. And I got to give a big shout out to my girl, Amy Dorsey. She's the one who says, oh my God, Becky. So, what's up,
oh
Amy?
Oh my God. Becky, look at her butt.
It's so big.
Isn't that the sample that Nicki Minaj used in Anaconda?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that is. And it's funny because I was talking with Amy, you know, a few years ago when that they sampled that. And I told Amy, I says, who knew that when we met each other, and I was, let's see, about that time I was 16, I think she might have been 17, who knew we were, you know, going to be part of history.
Wait, you?
No, that's not me. That's my friend who did it, but meaning me and promotions and the females out there promoting the records out there and taking the artists to, you know, shows like you guys and getting them
out
there.
So when people say this is a boys, rap is a boys club, it's really the women behind the scenes who are doing most of the work.
Yes, yes. That they don't get, you know, like, they don't get, I'm going to say it, the love for it. Like, I have to give big shout out to, you know, Zenobia Simmons, Baby Sam, who's RCA Records, Jen Boogie Norwood, who is with Universal Republic. These are all the people that we were the ones taking our cars with the artists. I know my friend Jen had Biggie in her car, and she's running him all around radio runs and taking him to, you know, the award shows, everything, getting them to TV, radio drops, all of that. But no one knows that these females played a big part of it. So it's kind of sad that the women in hip-hop don't get that love or credit for it. And not that we're sitting there saying, hey, give us that, but we did put blood, sweat, and tears into this. We were never off the clock. We were sitting there promoting all day, all night, just about.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, your experience in hip hop is mostly behind the scenes. You've never been a rapper yourself. Never been in front of the camera, except for today.
Except for today. I've been in front of the camera, but not as a rapper. No.
You
but you never know.
You can't rap?
never know.
So you won't like pop a freestyle?
No, maybe later. No.
Okay, so I'm gonna list a few of the jobs you've had in hip hop, just to get people in, like a gist of how long. This is from your LinkedIn page, where your profile picture is you and Sway.
What up, Sway?
I will ask you about him later. Of course, you co-hosted, as this is college radio. This you also were like in this chair before. You did.
I was on the show with Nastiness. He had the show, you know, first. It was called Rap Attack, influenced by New York radio. When I met Ness at a I met him in Mix-a-Lot at a show. We dated, and then, you know, eventually we got married and stuff. So that kind of introduced me into getting into music and stuff. And let me say, I didn't quite understand it at first. So when girls were all over, you know, my guy, whatever, I'd be one of those jealous girlfriends, like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like that. Then I got into it and I realized, oh, those are your fans and you got to be good and cool with your fans and stuff. So I started to understand, you know, what it was like to be in that, getting into radio. And I started with doing the public service announcements, doing the news and stuff, but in the Valley Girl way.
Like, can you do that?
You know, like, oh my God, let's go ahead and talk about like what Mobb Deep is doing today. So so that was kind of the way I did the show with him on that. And then it was funny because one time Mobb Deep, I do have a story about them, was on the show and he kept saying, you know what I'm saying, you know, every other word was, you know what I'm saying. And I stepped in and I said, no, actually, we don't know what you're saying because the fans out there might not know what you're saying. So can you elaborate on it? And he was like, you know, kind of caught off guard and stuff. But I liked doing stuff like that. I think that's another reason why Ness and I meshed so well, because when I got into it, I didn't come into it to be, you know, liked or whatever. I mean, I came into it for the love of the music with that. So I used to always tell people my motto was hated by many, loved by some. Can't be loved by everybody.
Exactly. I agree with that. A couple other things you did after KCMU. You hosted a local LA cable access video show for 1 year. And you were also the co-owner of Pinoy Promotions for about 8 years.
Yeah, that was, again, Ness and I, you know, being, you know, husband. Even when we were divorced, even when we got divorced, we still ran business together and stuff, and later opened up, you know, rapattacklives.com after we left Hits Magazine. And that's what brought us out here.
Yeah, you were there. You were music assistant at Hits Magazine for 3 years.
Right. That had, because they had shut down. I think what happened is they went, not because they were a magazine, and I believe they went online.
Oh.
And, you know, one big shout out I really have to, you know, give, who I learned a lot from, is, and he never would get shouted out too much, only because he was a guy who told it how it was, and sometimes I guess people couldn't handle the way he said things. But that's rest in peace to Ricky Lee Mensch, who was the mix show editor at Hits Magazine, and he's one of the ones who started the mix show conference calls for DJs to get on there and, you know, talk about what they were playing in their and stuff.
Okay, awesome. And then, and a couple other, here's two more you have. You were top 40 radio you said coordinator on your
page. You mean with Death Row?
Yeah. Yeah, did you have any interaction with a Suge Knight during that? That was when you were, it was from 1998 to 2000.
I mean, yes, we have. And actually, I do have a Death Row necklace that Suge Knight did give me. It was a nice little baby, because I'm baby C, so it was a nice little gold Death Row necklace that they did present to me. That was at the, I want to say at the Soul Train after awards party is when they presented that. So, little piece of history.
Yeah,
with that.
He's in jail right now for death threats. Did you experience any violent behavior or see any violent behavior on the part
we did over there and stuff.
Are you okay? Are you okay? And we were talking earlier, you knew Eazy-E before he had passed.
Yes.
You were at his funeral?
No, we couldn't make it out to his funeral. They, Tamika had called in, asked Ness and I to come out there, but I will say watching Straight Outta Compton was, when it came to Eric's death, like, I was in the theater crying really, really hard because he had called me, where he was calling for both of us, for Ness and myself, and that conversation that we had on the phone was really hard. He called to say that he was, you know, that he was passing away, and, you know, we were both crying, and the last thing he said is, you know, tell Ness that, you know, I love him, I love you, baby C, and I love you, you know, the kids. He said, you know, give my love to our kids, which was, you know, Christopher, Christiane, and Ashley. Aww. So that was really hard.
Yeah.
Because when we were in New York at New Music Seminar, Eric actually gave me the Compton hat that he wears. Because I was, yeah, because the funny story with that is we were at, I think it was DJ Honda who was DJing out there, and I tell Eric, I was like, I want your hat. You know, I'm kind of joking around, like, I want that hat. And he says, Ness, like, or Nasty is like, take control of your wife here, get control of her. And I was like, come on, I want the Compton hat. And we were inside watching DJ Honda, and Eric came up and he put it on. And I was like, what, really? Mm-hmm. And I was, I had to be, I think, like, say, 20, about 21, because I was pregnant. So oh. I think I was 20. When he gave that hat.
Oh, do you still have it?
So, no, I could just, it got stolen.
Oh.
When we moved, things went into storage. And
it got stolen?
It got stolen.
Did
it? One thing I do have to say, when he was passing away, we have a Eazy-E plaque, you know, one of the Death Row plaque, we're a Bad Boy and stuff, of all the artists that we worked. And when Eric was, and this is a true story, when Eric was dying, and before we even got that phone call, let's see, that one is the platinum one. It started to tilt. And as he was dying, it was coming down until it just fell like that. Ness and I never touched it. The record fell inside the frame. And then we got the phone call that he had passed away. And I told Ness, and he goes, oh my gosh, that record was falling as he was passing.
Aww.
So we still have it up there framed. We never got it fixed. Yeah.
That's really sad.
It's
really sad. And I remember crying during that scene as well.
Yeah, it's a hard scene to watch.
Especially when they're showing all his memories and while they're reading that letter he wrote to his fans as he was dying. Because he didn't announce it until, like, when he was already gone.
Yeah. I seen him, I want to say, it might have been a month or 2 months. I've seen him at a conference. He looked healthy. He looked great. You know, I would have never thought that that's what was going on. So it was a huge surprise when that happened.
The reality of AIDS.
Yeah.
Anyway, like you. So, and what is it hard being? I mean, we talked about this earlier. Transitioning to another topic. Is it hard being a woman in the hip hop world?
Yeah. It is, because, again, like we said, it is a man's world, and, like, I don't know, for me, I mean, I learned, you know, it's like I came in being maybe a little too nice. If you're too nice, then, you know, they may think of you as being, I guess, too flirty and just a fan or whatever, and I came in wanting to be taken serious, and with me, and some people may, you know, laugh and say that's stupid, and, you know, actually, one person to be unnamed, but he feels that, you know, who cares about respect? Well, respect is about everything, and especially when women in the industry are trying to, you know, use our brain and not take off our clothes and stuff. I'm all about it. If somebody looks at me as though I'm like a fan or groupie or something like that, or I'm going to turn around and say something like, why do I got to be a fan or a groupie? I could just be respecting
I remember
your music.
There's a song by Queen Latifah, another great female rapper.
Yeah.
No one remembers she's a rapper.
Right, because they think of her as crossing into movies and stuff. So
movies or singing.
Yeah, she was a good rapper.
Yeah, iconic.
Were you going to say UNITY?
UNITY. Okay, yeah, that song. And she was like, who you calling?
Right.
The profanity trigger warning. Bitch.
Yeah,
and then Missy Elliott said something on her In the Real World album, something about how women are called bitch
right.
In the world. I mean, is it and but then Rihanna recently was saying like that's her favorite word because it makes it her feel empowered. I mean, there's a big controversy regarding that word as far as women in hip hop go.
I mean, how can I say this? Like, so, I don't know. Sometimes in the music business, it's almost like, and I don't know. I can be, you know, some might criticize me for it, but it's almost like acting. You know, you go out with, you know, that image. I'll give you a perfect example. Boss, and you guys probably won't. I don't know if you guys remember a rapper called Boss. But she dressed, you do remember.
I do.
Oh my God, I gotta, wow. Because usually people don't, but
I remember a bunch of rappers that many people never heard of, like Eazy-E's Prodigy, Tierra B, Terry B.
Yeah.
No one remembers. people are like, who?
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember, where's Terry B? I think she recently moved from LA, but she was Eazy-E's Prodigy. Did you know her?
I met her once through Ness. I didn't like know her personally.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you like all that.
Yeah, but no. I know what you're saying that no one knows who she is and stuff like that. But it's because I used to dress like Boss. I went through my phases.
Very sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I went through my like little gangster phases, you know, like whatever the fashion was going on out there, because it was, I guess, I don't know, it's an image. Okay. It's all about an image to put out.
Okay,
there.
And since you work with so many famous people in the rap game, I want to shout out a couple names, and you can tell us like what you think of them, your personal experience, whatever.
Okay. Oh, you're gonna put me on the spot now? Oh no! No, I'm just kidding. As if.
Okay. Dr. Dre. You said you work with some people with N.W.A.
Dr. Dre, I do respect him and I do like his music. I'm more of an Ice Cube fan, but I have a funny story with that too. We were at a show and Dre was sitting down. Sometimes I don't always pay attention to, you know, because when you work with them, I don't always pay attention, I guess, like to who they are. We were sitting down, you know, real close and stuff, and he asked me like, "Hey, who are you here to see?" And I was like, "Ice Cube." I was like, "That's who it is. That's who it's about." And we're kind of going on, and then I hear his people say, "Dre, come over here for sound check." Wait a minute. Dre, and he looked at me, and he goes, "Baby, see, you're cool." He goes, "You didn't say you liked me, but you're cool." You know, it was just funny because I didn't look at him and say, you know, I was being real.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, yeah. How about his prodigy, Eminem?
Okay, I'm guilty. I was a huge Eminem fan.
We all were, and I still am.
I was a big Eminem fan.
Was.
Guilt. Because I liked his older music. You know, I liked when he was talking about what he was going through. I'm not too much of a big fan of him now, I have to say. But I did like his older music. But what he's come out with now, I haven't really.
You haven't listened to it?
No.
You should.
I mean, I've heard some of it, but it just, I like, maybe I'm old school. I liked his older stuff.
Okay. You know. Okay. How about Missy Elliott?
I do like Missy Elliott.
You any personal stories with her?
No, I just had met her at conferences, but I do, she's very nice and respectful. I do love her music. I love how she takes it out of the box and something different.
Old Dirty Bastard. that is actually the name, people.
Yeah, that is the name. Nice guy. Fun. My friend Jen and I spilled a drink on him.
I'm going to hear that.
We were at a conference. I think it was, it was in Atlanta. I think that was a Gavin conference. And Jen and I went to take pictures. And yeah, we're all holding our drinks. And, you know, me, I'm like Ty from Clueless, all clumsy and ish. And I was like getting in the picture. And he's kind of moving us in. And my drink went. And my friend looked. And we were like, okay, we're not going to say anything. Let's just take this picture. He didn't know anything, thank God.
Okay, last one, last guy, Sway. You got your profile picture on LinkedIn. Sway, like, what happened during that time?
Well, I know Sway from the KML days, from the Wake Up Show, because I'm from San Jose, you know, and they were doing the show in, you know, San Francisco. So I used to go down there to, you know, when I was pushing records and stuff at that time, if we were pushing, I think it was like Mixlot, maybe Rodney and Joe Cool even might have been pushing. We would go down there. So Sway and I just you know, became friends, and I'm so proud of him, you know, like to see him over there in New York doing his thing on Shade. So big props, Sway, and thank you, Sway.
Yeah. You know,
and I'm guessing, I learned a lot from you, so thank you.
Yeah, you were hugging him.
Okay, let's not. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, no.
But you got a hug.
Okay.
I mean, I would. Whatever.
Hey, Sway. No, I'm just kidding. No, Sway and I are good friends. That's all that.
Okay,
that is.
And of course, we were talking earlier before the show, Sir Mix-a-Lot and the Baby Got Back song. He originally didn't want it.
No, this song that he actually wanted to put out was a song called My Testarossa, and Baby Got Back would have been the B-side of that song. And, you know, I had listened to it, and Ness and I were like, no, that's going to be your hit right there. But he didn't want to get, you know, like, pigeon into, like, how Hammer was with You Can't Touch This, because that's all he's kind of, like, forever known, even though Hammer had other hits before that. And we told Mix to go with that, and he did. And, you know, now he's probably like a gazillionaire because he holds all his music, so he gets paid, probably getting paid now.
And he still kind of goes on that song. I think there was a country version of which he appeared in the video for.
Yes, yeah. And that, I mean, who knew that that song would cross over? Like, everybody knows that song.
Thank you, Nicki Minaj, on that one.
Yes, but
now the new generation knows some of that.
The new generation, yes, knows. Thank you, Amy.
So, of course, with you have your own blog, you kind of promote new artists like we do here at For the Culture.
Yeah, I love...
How do you find these new artists?
They find me. Actually, they'll find me and they'll hit me up and ask me, you know, if I can listen to their music. And, you know, I'll take the time and listen to it. And I always want to help new artists and help people, like, let's all get to that same goal. We don't have to step on anybody. We don't have to screw anybody over. Let's just all get over there, help each other out. Something people don't do.
Okay, and what is your advice for others who want to be in your position, who want to be in this industry?
Don't be fake. You know, and one thing, have respect for the people who started it. You know, for the DJs who put the music out. Have respect for those DJs. There's a lot of young DJs that come out and they don't have any respect for, you know, us who put in a lot of hard work into that. And I'm not a turntablist DJ, but I will say that anybody can kind of push a button. I think if you're going to call yourself a DJ, and I might get, you know, ish for this, for the people who, you know, do Serato and stuff, but it's all about turntablists.
Okay.
Learn that, and then you're a DJ.
Okay, anything you want to say quickly before we get out of here?
Guys, got me all tongue-tied here. Just big shout-out to all the names that I said. Alex Mejia, Sway, Jen Boogie, thank you. Baby Sam, thank you all. I learned from you guys. I'm here because of you guys, so thank you.
Okay, and thanks. Thank you for coming in, Bella, or Baby, whatever.
Baby C.
Whatever. And thank you all for tuning in. Please join us next week on For the Culture when we'll be talking to rapper Little Zilch? I don't know.
Oh my God.
We'll figure that out next week. This is Redhead Shoddy, signing out. Peace!